check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.
We'll start in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, however you may be, thank you so much for tuning in to another round of All Steelers Talk, brought to you by All Steelers Talk on Sports Illustrated. Go ahead, go to the website, allsteelers.com or si.com/NFL/Steelers, and also subscribe to our YouTube page, All Steelers Talk, where you'll find all of our videos there week in and week out. My name is Donnie Druin, joined alongside weekly by Noah Schackmein. Noah, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. This kind of feels like the offseason, does it not? Like, I feel like this little month gap between mini camp and training camp is like the real offseason for the NFL.
Yeah, offseason is a really good way to put it, especially for people like us who are trying to get each and every single page view that we can. And people are just not clicking, man. I don't know. I don't know if it's the fish or the fishing pole, dude.
Hey, I mean, hey, people click, people don't click. It is what it is. It's when you're talking about Deontay Johnson working with the Migos and how nobody did anything in minicamp except for a punter, there's only so much you could expect people to read.
Only so much, but, you know, no matter if it's Deontay Johnson, the Migos, whoever says what, we will always be here week in and week out to cover whatever's happening around the Steelers. But first, before we dive into some actual deep Steelers talk, Carl Nassib, defensive player for the Las Vegas Raiders, recently came out and said that he was gay, so he becomes the first active NFL player in NFL history to openly come out and also announce the donation of $100,000 to a LGBTQ charity that helps prevent suicides for, you know, those types of kids and all that other great stuff. Zach Banner is such a vocal guy whenever it comes to speaking out for, you know, a bunch of minority people, a bunch of oppressed people. Came out and had some very, very nice things to say about Carl, backing him up. And, you know, I kind of want to first touch on what you think of Carl and, you know, his decision to actually do that before the upcoming season. And what'd you take away from what Zach Banner had to say?
So Carl Nassib, obviously, you know, pioneer, somebody who everyone should look up to at this point. And the fact that his jersey went from wherever to the top selling jersey in less than a couple hours was pretty awesome. Just to see the support, and people were talking constantly about how, oh, the NFL players, the big names in the NFL, didn't come out and support Carl. And I saw a couple of them, but I think the biggest thing is that we've hit a point where you're in a locker room, you're about as accepting of everybody else in that locker room as you could possibly be. I mean, just because guys aren't coming out doesn't mean that there aren't guys in locker rooms who are gay, who are bisexual. And the fact that Carl came out just to be a voice says a ton about him and his leadership. And I'm actually very excited that he's a guy who is private and is quiet, because I'm sure that, you know, the messages were both good and bad, and that's super unfortunate, but it's sadly the world that we live in. When it comes to the positives, I mean, I hope this does so much good for anybody out there, any young football player or just young person in general who's sitting around thinking that maybe they can't do what they want to do because of who they are. That should never be the case, ever. You know, so pioneer, obviously a hero in many eyes. And, you know, if Carl ever hears this, or if he gets the chance to hear this, I personally thank you, because the LGBTQ community has always meant a lot to me and my family. And to have support like that and to have somebody represent them like that goes a long way. When it comes to Zach Banner, I mean, dude, what is there left to say about Zach Banner? Every time that something happens where somebody should say something deep and meaningful, Zach Banner has those words to say. I mean, the guy, he always puts his heart on his sleeve. I respect that. I will always respect that. Zach Banner is a dude who, you know, maybe one day he wears the captain sleeve. Maybe he never wears the captain sleeve, but his voice and his actions off the field are always ones that represent the Steelers well. And I think that's something that when this team looks at him down the road, you know, how many other contracts he has left that's yet to be determined, that's something that they're going to take into consideration and they're going to value very heavily, because Zach Banner is a dude who represents the Steelers as well as you could possibly represent the Steelers. And everybody loves him for that. I love him for that. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's appreciative.
I think that's something that can almost get lost in translation sometimes, is that whenever you put that helmet on week in and week out, not only do you represent yourself, you represent the team. You know, you are the Steelers, you are the city of Pittsburgh. And for a team that's gone through a handful of wild characters through the last couple of years, how refreshing is it to have a guy like Banner, you know, a guy who is just so true to himself, a guy who's not afraid to speak out for what's right, a guy who's not afraid to stand up for what he believes in. It just phenomenal, you know, and from talking to him, you know, twice in the last 2 years, I have so much respect for him. And, you know, like you said, dude, whether or not, you know, he ends up with the Steelers long-term or short-term, it doesn't matter. You know, I feel like guys are so much easier to root for when you can see them off the field doing stuff that you personally believe in. And that makes it so much easier for, you know, you to pull for them whenever they're actually on the field. Now, you know, I know a lot of people have questions about Zach Banner, you know, as a player heading to the season, but I feel like one thing you can't question about Banner is, one, his commitment to the Steelers, you know, his love for the city in Pittsburgh, and two, him, I think you took the words right out of my mouth. I think that's why I'm scrambling to find other words right now. He will always stand up and say and speak up for other people whenever other people don't have a chance. And I have many friends who are in the gay community, who are in the LGBTQ community. And to think that some people like them are afraid to come out, are afraid to truly be themselves, whether it be their friends or family or whoever, as long as Carl came out and just helped one person be a little bit more true to himself, just helped one person be a little bit more comfortable with who they are, I think that's a win.
Oh, it's a huge win. I think that's perfect way to say it. If you helped one person, which it did, it probably helped millions of people, you know, but just to help one person goes so long. I mean, people constantly, and you could compare this to something that's maybe a little bit more relative to everybody else, is, you know, people constantly talk about, oh, well, if you're going through depression or anxiety, you should speak on that because your story can help other people who are struggling and who are looking for support or some guidance or whatever. And that's the same exact thing. He is speaking out not to look for attention or to draw light to the situation, because really neither of those was what he did. You know, the NFL was already super accepting of those who want to come play football who are gay, and that's totally fine. And they've made that very known this year and probably in years past, but definitely this year. I think the NFL as a whole, their players, we went through the whole Black Lives Matter movement a year ago, and that unified everybody. At this point, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are in an NFL locker room, you understand your brothers in the NFL locker room better than you ever have. And what Carl did was just say, hey, look it, guys, nobody really cares. You know what I mean? Everybody is still going to love me, and I want you to understand that it's okay to be who you are because everybody's going to love you too. And that's awesome. You know, that's super incredible. Shout out to Carl, because, I mean, without people like him, you know, who knows where this world would be, and it's a better place for what he did.
Definitely. And I thought it was pretty cool how Warren Moon came out in support of him, the, you know, former Oilers of many teams quarterback, you know, one of the great quarterbacks in NFL history. He came out and said that he had a handful of gay teammates while he was playing, and they were phenomenal people and phenomenal athletes. So I think the end goal of this is to get to a situation where a player coming out as gay isn't some groundbreaking news. You know, it's kind of just, I'm sure it'll be news, you know, somewhere down the line, but for it to become just a little bit more normal. And, you know, guys like Carl kind of paving the way for that. So big shout out to Carl, big shout out to Zach and everybody else supporting him. And, you know, if that's what it takes for, you know, people to kind of take that next step, so be it. You know, I never want people, whether they're our listeners or whoever, to feel like they don't have someone to come out to and talk to. You know, I don't want people to think that, you know, just because they feel a little bit differently than, you know, people like you, right? Dude, I'm a straight white male. I have nothing to complain about.
Yep.
I have endured nothing compared to, you know, the other groups of people. And, you know, but I still want to help people. I still want to be an ally for people. And things like Carl did, things like Zach Banner came out and did in support of him, just make it one step easier for people like me to help those kinds of other people as well.
100%. I couldn't have said it any better.
But moving on, after that heart-tugging conversation, moving on to Steelers talk. Trey Turner was recently brought in for a visit from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just a visit, though, not an official workout. Probably just had some coffee and donuts, talk about what they thought of each other. Maybe, maybe not. I wasn't in the room. Noah probably wasn't in the room. But I just want to make sure, Noah, any inside info on that visit or no?
Nah, nothing crazy, at least nothing alarming. I mean, it just kind of looks like they were going over their options. I think what is alarming, though, or what people should take notice of is, why are they looking at a guard? Because Kevin Dotson is definitely the future. And what are you doing trying to replace David DeCastro?
Yep. So there's two questions I want to ask you. First being related to Trey Turner, and second being related to a current starting Steelers guard not named Kevin Dotson. Number one, though, Trey Turner, five-time Pro Bowler. Last year was the first year he didn't play 16 games. He was recently traded in that I think it was the Russell Kong trade. I might be wrong, though. Recently moved, though, after playing for the Panthers for so many years. Didn't exactly grade out very well for Pro Football Focus. I think he ranked 62 of 64 starting guards in the NFL last year. What do you think of Trey Turner as a football player?
It's tough. You know, offensive linemen are some of the toughest to evaluate on a year-to-year basis, just because if you're not a guy like Quentin Nelson or a guy like Marquise Pouncey or David DeCastro, I mean, you could drop off pretty drastically, and maybe that's what happened with Trey Turner. Maybe he just didn't click in Los Angeles and nothing was going well and his production went down. Maybe he was a BJ Finney where he showed up a little bit out of weight and he just couldn't get on track, couldn't find his footing. It was also a COVID year, you know, like you have to look at that whole situation and say he had no offseason to adjust. He was thrown into an absolutely awful offensive line and was told to go be the star with a rookie quarterback that got replaced 4 weeks into the season. No running back, basically, because Austin Ekeler was very hit or miss injury-wise, and he was dealing with injuries of his own. So I don't know. If you miss seven games, you don't have an offseason, and you're switching teams, it's pretty tough to say that you're going to have a good year, especially when you're a lineman who 95% of your job is being able to mesh with everybody around you. So I don't know what to think about him. Do I think that there's still plenty of potential there? Yeah. 100%. I mean, the 5 years that he was in Carolina, he was a Pro Bowler. And I feel like that doesn't just go away after a season. Maybe it does. Maybe he never bounces back from these injury troubles. But if you play all games for 5 years and make five Pro Bowls, I have some pretty high hopes that you could overcome a bad season.
Most definitely. And that was leading to my next question. Where do you see him fitting into Pittsburgh? And, before we actually talk about David DeCastro, do you think that is a depth signing? Do you think that he could potentially be a starter? Because there's not a whole lot of actual guard depth on the Steelers right now. The Steelers have three centers right now who can play guard phenomenal, but there's really no full-time bona fide left or right guard, you know, just in case a guy like Kevin Dotson or David DeCastro goes down. And I was surprised because the Steelers still have, you know, a couple holes in their defensive secondary, and outside linebackers have been a position where a lot of people have wanted them to address, at least on the depth chart. But offensive line kind of took me by surprise. So for them to even entertain Trey Turner, you know, on his visit, kind of speaks volumes to, you know, them wanting to beef up the offensive line just a little bit more heading into the season.
Yeah, and I think that's how you have to look at it, is there's one of two things here. Either it's alarming how unfitting BJ Finney is at this point, or maybe they just have no trust in either him or J.C. Hasenauer. And if I had to guess, it'd be BJ Finney. I think if there's an outlier here for one of them to get cut, it's probably Finney. Or there's something concerning with David DeCastro. Because here's the thing. Trey Turner is a guy who probably isn't looking for a depth job. He's probably not looking to come in and play minimum reps behind David DeCastro and Kevin Dotson and mix in with BJ Finney or J.C. Hasenauer or maybe even Kendrick Green as like that swing guard. And I think that when the Steelers are talking to him, they have to have that expectation, right? They have to have something out there saying, hey, dude, your role is probably going to be what you want it to be. And the reason for that is alarming. Because is it BJ Finney and them having absolutely no depth and they need somebody out there to just constantly rotate in this guard swing from left to right? Or is David DeCastro is something up with David DeCastro, and the Steelers are pretty alarmed. I mean, okay, look at David DeCastro, and I know that you wanted to get into this in a second. We're going to get into it right now. David DeCastro did not show up for OTAs. Whatever. He's 32 years old. I wouldn't show up for OTAs anyways. He did not participate in minicamp the first day. He was in street clothes. The next 2 days, he was gone. He was not there. And Mike Tomlin just said it was an excused absence, and it is what it is. He doesn't want to address these things. That's totally fine until you bring in Trey Turner, and now you start thinking, what's up with David DeCastro? Last year, he dealt with injury troubles. He missed 2 games with injuries, plus he basically missed the whole summer. He said a couple of times throughout the season that football really isn't that fun anymore. Maybe that is because of just the fans. Maybe that's just because he's getting old. I don't know. But I would say that for a name like that, this isn't a Malik Hooker. This isn't they're bringing somebody in who's definitely going to play behind Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick. This is a guy who's going to start on most teams in the NFL. Why is he in Pittsburgh? Well, it's not because of Kevin Dotson.
Definitely not, no. And if you could allow me to put my makeshift tinfoil hat on really quick. David DeCastro didn't play all that well last year, and a lot of people had speculated that it was injury holding him back, right? Mm-hmm. And it was. He did miss a few games last year. And, you know, even whenever he was playing, a lot of people thought that his poor play was due to injury. And that was a big topic heading into 2021 was, you know, will David DeCastro be able to bounce back? Or was it purely his age? Had he fallen off like Marquise Pouncey? You know, because Pouncey, sure, he probably dealt with a handful of injuries, you know, last year. But the deep decline in play that we saw from Pouncey last year, astronomical. And David DeCastro played on similar levels, but a lot of people just think it was, you know, his injury last year that was holding him back. So with you pointing all of the above out about him missing minicamp, him being in street clothes the entire time, and him just being gone, and then bringing in Trey Turner, I mean, absolutely. I don't blame people at all for, you know, putting on the tinfoil hat and trying to find, you know, different ways and different reasons for them to sign Trey Turner. Now, Trey Turner did leave without a deal. And I think there's something to it. And I also think there's something not to it. Because, you know, he didn't go there for an official workout, at least from my understanding. He only went there for a visit. The Steelers didn't run him through a physical or anything like that. They just brought him in to talk. And no, sure, go back to your point. I think that Trey Turner would be considered the quote-unquote starter on a lot of teams in the NFL. But I forgot who it is. He's the Bengals writer for The Athletic. Whenever Trey Turner first met with the Steelers, I tried to find all I could on Trey Turner. And he brought up a really interesting point. I'll try to get his name after the podcast and tribute to him. But he was basically saying how, you know, Trey Turner graded out very poorly last year. And if Trey Turner was as really good as people think he is or people make him out to be, why is he not with the team right now? 32 teams at the moment have passed on Trey Turner. Why is that?
I mean, there's probably a couple reasons for that. Not everybody needs a guard, obviously. He is coming off of injuries, which is a little concerning. But at the same time, maybe it's on him. Why has no one signed Steven Nelson yet? It's not like we're looking at Steven Nelson to go in and not sign with anybody or to be a backup somewhere. I fully expect Steven Nelson to land somewhere and be a starter in 2021. I kind of expect Malik Hooker to do the same thing. They're names out there. I mean, just because he hasn't signed with anybody yet, I'm not going to chalk that up to nobody wants him. I just think maybe there's probably a bunch of reasons. I would say one is probably the financial side of it. I mean, Trey Turner probably wants more money than he's worth right now. And until he realizes what his worth actually is, that's probably going to be an issue to a lot of teams. Two, how many teams can you list off that clearly need a guard right now and want to spend the money on a veteran guard? And three, I mean, how 100% is Trey Turner? How ready is he to play? That's a huge factor. You know, you're not Bud Dupree. You're not somebody who's going to step on the field and if you didn't sign him, he was going to go for $85 million somewhere else. This is a guy that could definitely coast through free agency. Everybody knows that, including the Steelers. And if you're just telling them, hey, look, we don't know what your value is. We don't know how much we need you right now. If you're Trey Turner, you're just saying, all right, yeah, no worries, man. I'll wait it out because I'm Trey Turner and chances are I'm going to go start somewhere in the NFL this season, even if I don't show up till 2 weeks into training camp. So I don't know. He's a veteran. I think that some veterans hold out for this stuff and that's you know, what's happening. When it comes to the meeting with the Steelers, I mean, maybe that's how it went. Maybe the Steelers and him met and they said, hey, we don't know what's going to go on with David DeCastro. We're a little concerned about the future of him. Maybe he isn't 100%, or maybe he is just kind of lost a little bit of touch. He doesn't know if he wants to continue to play. And we kind of just want to hold out on it. You know, we want you to hear, we want you to understand what our process is, and we want you to understand what our needs for you are. And they just talked from there. I don't know. I wasn't in the room, but I wouldn't say that him not being with somebody is as alarming as it could be. I get that it's maybe something to question, but I wouldn't look at it like a big, oh, this means Trey Turner stinks.
Definitely. No, you took the words right out of my mouth. And I think it'd be awesome to be a fly on the wall of that room, but I think it's better to be fly on the All Steelers podcast here with Don and Jerome and Noah Schachmein. Moving on to the nickelback position, been kind of under fire. You know, there's been a lot of different pieces that think they could potentially take over that role. You threw a name out to me before the podcast that kind of, I don't want to say took me by surprise, but with all the other players on the roster, you said this guy's running away. Who's this Usain Bolt character that you speak of?
So the guy that I would pick right now to be leading this group, that's probably four or five guys deep, is Antoine Brooks Jr. Last year, he was drafted as a safety, but we learned, and truthfully, I didn't even realize this, but he's been working as the nickelback since he has been drafted. The Steelers knew that he wasn't a safety. He played more of that box, Terrell Edmonds, Marcus Allen type thing in college at Maryland. And that's what the Steelers wanted him to do in Pittsburgh. There wasn't really any room for it last year. It was just Mike Hilton and then Cam Sutton. So you didn't really need another nickelback out there. So he spent most of his time on the practice squad. Now he comes in here. He looks pretty comfortable. He looks like a second year guy, not somebody who's going to make a ginormous jump, but maybe enough of a jump to get a starting role. And truthfully, I mean, he's working with a bunch of misfits. It's Antoine Brooks Jr., Arthur Mullett, Trey Norwood, Shakur Brown, all these guys. Nobody outside of Pittsburgh knows who any of them are. So, you know, he's leading the way of the land of the misfit toys. But he's a guy that right now I would fully expect to land the starting job week one if he doesn't mess it up.
Yeah, you know, he played in four regular season games last year. You know, maybe the Steelers just kind of took their time with him. You know, maybe they wanted to develop him because he was a later round pick, right? He was a day
sixth
three
round
pick. Yep, day three. The Steelers, at least Mike Tomlin, isn't very keen on throwing rookies into the fire if they're not quite ready yet. I mean, we even saw it with Devin Bush the first two games of his career before it became abundantly clear that, you know, he was the best linebacker on the roster, is that they're wanting to work the rookies in slowly. And, you know, I'm sure most of the time that Antoine got last year was a big portion of special teams. I think I saw he had two tackles, you know, in total last year. He did end up playing in the Browns playoff game last year for a couple snaps as well. But I mean, just looking at the other guys, like you said, it's the island of misfit toys. You know, what's going on with guys like Trey Norwood, who's probably not much better than him, at least heading into, you know, his first season in the NFL. And you guys have guys like Shakur Brown and pretty much anybody else who, you know, you want to throw there. But, you know, Antoine Brooks is a very versatile guy heading into the Steelers. And it sounds like they've finally found something that they want to stick him in as. And, you know, maybe he sees an increase in special teams this year. Maybe he sees a couple packages for him this year, you know. And I don't exactly know what Keith Butler has planned. I haven't been there for minicamp. You have, so you can probably speak a little bit more to that. But, I mean, from everything you've just told me, it sounds like we're going to be seeing a little bit more of Antoine Brooks Jr. heading to 2021.
Yeah, I think you would. And I think that the cornerback situation as a whole is going to be a group effort. James Pierre will probably see a decent amount of snaps. You'll probably see Trey Norwood work pretty much everywhere on the defensive side of the football. And then you're going to see a guy like Antoine Brooks or Arthur Mullett. I'm going to stick with Brooks for now and just say if he is the starter, if he is the nickelback, then you're going to see Cam Sutton bounce inside and play the dime so that there is that veteran strong presence still on the inside when needed. It's not just Brooks out there. And you're going to see James Pierre take the outside from time to time. And you'll probably see Cam play a little bit of nickel time and again because they just want that mix of defenders. Because let's be real, Antoine Brooks Jr. at this point is not a superstar in the NFL. And we don't know if he's going to be once the season starts. Maybe that all changes. But just judging off of last season, that's what we have to go off of. Trey Norwood's a rookie, and we just talked about how, I mean, if you're going to start James Harrison over TJ Watt and guys like Chase Claypool are going to sit on the bench behind James Washington for a little while, and all these Kevin Dotson's going to sit behind Matt Filer for a year. I mean, you're going to talk about all these, then you can't really expect anybody to walk in here outside of Najee Harris and be this day one starter, this phenom in Pittsburgh. So it's going to be a group effort. And I think Antoine Brooks Jr. is a guy who, yeah, he plays a lot of what Mike Hilton played last season. He's a smaller guy. He's real physical. He could tackle real well. He probably hits you harder than most people in the defensive backfield. That's exactly what the Steelers are looking for. If he can blitz well and if he can stuff the run, he's got the job. Outside of that, they can work on pretty much everything else and they could cover that up with other guys. But yeah, Antoine Brooks Jr. is a name to keep watching moving forward. Sixth round pick last year, so you can't expect him to do literally anything. It was a COVID year again, so there's no offseason. So this year he's got an offseason. He's got some new pieces to the puzzle. He's working with a mix, so maybe things change. Maybe Antoine Brooks Jr. is the answer that nobody saw coming.
Music to my ears. Before we get deep dove into the last topic of the podcast, I think we have some news to announce. I think subscriptions are indeed coming back to Sports Illustrated sites, including us very own allsteelers.com. Some of the best insights, some of the best deep dives you are going to find on the interwebs can be found at allsteelers.com for a small subscription fee. Go ahead, coming out soon, so be on the lookout for that. Visit the website allsteelers.com or nfl.com/steelers for more information. And we've got a lot of exciting stuff planned out with that. And you know, I'm not saying we're Kaboli, but we're gonna be Kaboli. You know, I'm just saying.
Look, we're not saying that we're the rest of them. We're just saying that, you know, maybe we're better than the rest of them.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying we're the only people on the block who do this very well, but I don't see any other people the block that do it as well. You feel
that's what I'm saying. I'm not – look it. I'm never going to overstep anything. I'm just saying the cookout's big. There's a lot of people there. Me and you are man in the grill. Speaks for itself.
Love it. But moving on to our last topic of the day, NFL.com's Tom Pelissero tweeted out that players have until next Friday, not this one upcoming, but next Friday, July 2nd, to declare whether they are in or out for the upcoming season due to COVID. Same stuff heading into last year. You know, if you opt out, I think you get $350,000 worth of salary for the year. It doesn't sound like a lot of guys are planning to, especially with the vaccine now being widely available and we know players feeling a little bit more safe playing into the NFL. But you know what? There's still a lot of players that have certain health issues to deal with. There's still a lot of players that, you know, that may have to consider sitting out the 2021 season, although it does seem a little bit less likely. I think I know the answer to this, but you know, just for me being able to sleep at night, just for everybody else listening to this to be able to sleep at night, Noah, you are the insider. Have you heard anything about any Steelers players potentially thinking about pondering the thought of skipping out on the 2021 season?
That's a deep, wide open question. But I'm going to say no, I haven't heard anything so far. And I don't expect any of the Steelers to opt out. I think that would have been discussed already. I do think that, you know, maybe it brings up a little bit of some nerves in a guy like David Castro. Why isn't he around? What's going on? You know what I mean? Is he pondering maybe taking a year off, especially if it doesn't have to be like a retirement year or anything? You're still getting $350,000 in your bank account. But no, I haven't heard anything, and I don't expect the Steelers to opt out anywhere. I think that this year is a little different. You know, I think that the guys that might opt out of the season are guys who are a little concerned about the vaccine and understand that the NFL is going to make life about as hard as possible if you're not vaccinated. You know, guys like Cole Beasley might not want to play because, like, let's be real, the NFL is going to make it as difficult as possible, and they are going to challenge your livelihood and everything that they can so that they can pressure you into going to get the vaccine. I'm not saying that you should or you should not. That's your own personal decision. You do you. But there are probably going to be guys that are uncomfortable getting it and just look at it and going, you know, maybe I just let this calm down for a year and we'll take it next year. But when it comes to Pittsburgh, no, I haven't heard anything.
It is notable to point out that I don't think any Steelers last year opted out due to COVID-19, correct? Yeah. So, you know, especially with the vaccine being a little bit more available and widespread, I wouldn't really expect any of those guys either. But, you know, I'm just a guy behind a keyboard. I come to you for all my Steelers news and information. Just like people should go to allsteelers.com for their latest updates, news, articles, whatever you want. Steelers, we got it. All Steelers, all the time. Go to follow us on Twitter at @SI_Steelers. Go to follow me at Donnie Druin and follow my man Noah at Noah Strackbine. Noah, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. To all our viewers, thank you so much. It's also been a pleasure. We will see you next week.
From earaches to strep tests, there's MinuteClinic at CVS. See a provider, fill a prescription, and grab essentials. Or see us online with telehealth options. That's healthier made easier. Visit MinuteClinic at CVS today. Services vary by location. See MinuteClinic.com for details.
Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.